better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Talking a lot of football this morning, but basketball season is about to get revved up as Arkansas will have their very first exhibition game of the season happening this Sunday at 3 p.m., which it's a bigger deal, too, because the court's also going to be named after Nolan Richardson. So there's a lot of excitement about Razorback basketball. And to help us talk a little more about it, why not just have the head man himself, Coach Eric Musselman, head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Coach, appreciate you joining us this morning. How you doing?
No, it's great to come on with both of you guys. Appreciate it, John. Appreciate you having me on.
Of course. We always appreciate having you on. And I just want to ask, since this is heading into your first year of being the head coach of Arkansas, around this time, how do you get? Do you get excited? Do you get anxious? How are you just getting pumped up for this season? Do you want to just get it going right now?
It depends how practice goes. It varies from day to day how you feel. But our guys have really, really worked hard. They've done an incredible job of buying into it. You know, anytime that there's a coaching change, there's always, people are not used to the system. They're not used to the way of practice. It doesn't matter what sport or what coach it is. And then the first thing you got to try to do is kind of lay the foundation for how you want to do things. And you're trying to work both sides of the ball, offensively, defensively, special team situations, meeting after timeouts, free throw situations, what you're going to do. We call all those special situations. So we're slowly but surely working our way to laying the foundation for not only how we want to play, but also now as we're getting closer to games, roles start being defined, starting lineups start being defined. And really, these two exhibition games will allow us to watch our players under the lights with fans. And then you add in the throwback game that we've already played. That'll give us three times that we can try to evaluate our guys. I think really the biggest difference that I've found between the NBA and there's a lot of differences between the NBA and college, but one of the things this time of year that I always reflect back on is exhibition games. In the NBA, you play five or six exhibition games, and actually it used to be there was seven or eight exhibition games, and it allowed you, your team, to kind of get into the flow of what the season's like. In college, it's not that way at all, and that's kind of why we've elected to have games in front of our fans, because you're either allowed to play two or one exhibition-type setting, or you could do two secret scrimmages behind closed doors, and we have, through experience, felt that the secret scrimmages don't give our players the popcorn's popping, the lights are on, fans are in the building. So for all those reasons, it makes a lot of sense to have these exhibition games.
What has changed with the college basketball calendar? Because it used to seem like these exhibition games happened in early November, and then things got going on the Division I level like the second Saturday in November. It seems like everything's shifted up, Coach, a couple of weeks. Is that indeed the case this year?
Well, no question. Actually, it used to be the very first practice was October 15th. That used to be your first practice. So they moved those, from 4 hours a week up to 20 hours a week. And so everything's kind of changed. But I do think it's a little bit for the better. We're able to have a little bit more of a longer training camp this way, and I think the players need it. When you're dealing with student athletes, the age of our players, player development is paramount to an individual player, and it's also so important for your team development as well. So I think that moving it up a little bit has helped. It allows you a little bit more time now between exhibition games and your opener to evaluate your team and use the film as a teaching tool as well.
Now, Coach, you've been the coach now for quite some time. You've been able to see some practices, some scrimmages, obviously the red-white game. But just at this point in time, especially from some of the players that were held over from the previous regime, who has really stood out to you? Who's really impressed you in the buy-in and the way that they've been performing in practices? Who's the guy that's really stood out?
Well, I think, you know, what we did is we actually had our players, we put three categories, you know, things like leadership, which player's been the most communicative, meaning talking on defense, echoing play calls, and then who's led through example on off hours with their work ethic. Desi actually won all three of those, and that was voted on not by the coaches but by his teammates. So he's really taken a huge step in a leadership role. He's not an overly talkative young man, but he's done a great job of trying to lead by example and communicating much more than he did his freshman year, which is an incredible sign for him as, in his growth, both on the floor and then off the floor. And then obviously Isaiah Joe, we're going to need him to get as many good quality looks, and it's up to the coaching staff to try to get a little bit creative this year on some of the offensive sets and wrinkles that he's going to need this year, because he's now the focal point of every scouting report, whereas last year, obviously, with Daniel Gaffer, things were a little bit different because you had him to deal with inside. And so now every team that plays us is going to be talking about trying to take away the three ball from Isaiah. And so it's a little bit of that burden is going to be on the coaches to try to help him get as many quality shots as possible. And then, you know, when we played in front of people, which is just once, and then we also opened the doors for media day, Connor Vanover's played incredible. He has elevated his game in the two public settings that we've had, although, we don't know if he's going to be in uniform this year. But so those are some of the guys. And then our point guards, both Jalen Harris and Jimmy Witt, both guys have done a really good job from a defensive standpoint. And both of them understand our offense as well as anybody on our roster.
Connor Vanover was my next question, and I don't know how much you can comment or what can you say about his status, and when is the NCAA going to give you an answer?
Well, you know, we're cool, you know, waiting. I'd rather wait than get an answer we don't want right away. So, you know, we're fine waiting. It really doesn't affect how we maneuver on a day-to-day basis. You know, his player development and how he was integrated into the team with all of our guys that sit out as transfers. We treat them no differently than our starter or our most important player in uniform, because these guys, when you do have to sit out for a year, it's a hard year for a player. So it really doesn't affect us until we get right around November, you know, 3rd or 4th, when we start really getting ready for that opener. So we're patiently waiting. Although, you know, we're kind of acting as if he will be in a development year and not on the floor, but that's not bad. That's not so bad either. You're talking about, you know, a player that can use the weight room if, in fact, he does not get the waiver.
Yeah. So without his height, that gives you some challenges with overall team height. And in a year where the shot clock rules change, the three-point line changes, which changes spacing, how do you address the lack of height with your team? Does that change the way and the style you want to play? Or how do you address people that have concerns about the lack of height and with your roster?
Well, first of all, we have the same concerns as a fan does with our lack of height. And if anyone knows where we can grab a big guy, please let us know. We're open to suggestions, because we tried in a short period of time. Any head coach that gets a job after, you know, the NCAA tournament, really you're talking most of the high school players in that class are gone and off the board. And historically, grad transfers and transfers, bigs are a little bit more difficult. So, you know, in reality, we did get a big from Stetson. We did get Connor, who's got great size. So we did get two guys, and then, you know, we're really lucky that we got John Talsilla, a 6'7" player who is going to be a guy that we're going to need to have a good year
So in a short period of time, we did add a little bit of size. Two of them obviously could, you know, sit out guys. But we're going to have to get creative. The good thing at Nevada, for 3 of the 4 years I was there, we really played without a center. And we spaced the floor. And the key to that is how well can the guys that are playing the 4 or 5s shoot the basketball. And that's going to be a really key for us, because if those guys are not knocking down shots, then the floor spacing becomes a little bit more difficult.
Now, Coach, you've coached a lot of different players, a lot of different teams at a lot of different levels. You've watched a lot of film. I mean, you know the game of basketball, and you know good teams and bad teams and whatnot. And I think Razorback fans are at an all-time high for their excitement, at least in quite some time for basketball. But just in your mind, how good can this team be this year? NCAA tournament is always the goal for everybody, but just from being around these guys, how good can this team be this year?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, the media looked at our roster, we just came from Isaiah and Desi, and I just came from Birmingham yesterday at media day, and I heard a lot of questions about us being predicted 11th preseason, if you look at our team, yes, we've added Jimmy Witt, yes, we've added guys like Silla that are going to be able to help us as grad transfers, but the roster lost a really big piece, an NBA draft pick, who is really unique in his size and his length and his athleticism. So we are going to miss that. You know, now the question is, can we as a group kind of come up with a style and a system that works best, and then how quickly can we figure that out? Because, you know, I can even remember working with Chuck Daly, with the Orlando Magic, a Hall of Fame coach, his last coaching stint. He used to tell our staff in training camp that it takes 50 games to get to know your NBA team. Now, obviously, that's NBA, but the point of it is we're going to try to have to figure this thing out as quick as we can, and the way that we look, you know, the game against Rice might be different once we hit SEC play. So we're going to have to try to continue to work as a group and tinker and see what fits us best. But the biggest key is, can we play with maximum effort, energy, and enthusiasm, and just take one game at a time? And if you do that, good things usually happen.
Head Coach Eric Musselman with us here on the Morning Rush Recruiting Thursday, brought to you by Razorback Camper Sales, Exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs, and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com. Coach, do you feel like your culture is ingrained in the program? You said it's good, you know, and at the pros, it takes 50 games to kind of really know your team. Is there still work to do to get your culture ingrained with this roster and this team, or do you think you're there yet?
Well, I think that, you know, that word culture is just used like so broadly in today's business world and also in the athletic field. But having said that, culturally, from a off-season phrase or standpoint, yes, we have, because when you walk into our gym 6 in the morning before guys have class, guaranteed there's guys shooting. If you walk into our gym on a weekend night at 10 o'clock at night, the lights are on and somebody's in there shooting. So when you come to one of our practices, some guys are down there shooting an hour and a half before, and many guys stay 45 minutes after a physical hard practice. So culturally, there's no doubt from an off-season standpoint we have. Now the question that remains, now the games are coming, so roles are formed. What's going to happen if a player thinks he's going to get more shots than what really happens in a game, and how do guys handle traveling and having their class work and then practice? So all the in-season stuff we're about to embark on, but we do feel like culturally the guys have done exactly what we've asked. But as in any season, there's always, you know, turbulence. There's ups, there's downs, and then it's how strong your bond is as a group to go through those periods of time and still compete on a nightly basis.
Is the extra distance on the three-point line going to affect Isaiah Joe or any of the other shooters this year? Have you seen anything in practice that says, yeah, this is going to be a little bit different this year?
I don't think so. I think that the further out three-point line, at least philosophically, we're hopeful that it helps Isaiah. It separates him from other average shooters because he is a great shooter. We've worked a lot with Desi on the range. We hope that the line moving back helps him as well. Same thing with Mason Jones. Mason and Isaiah, those two guys in particular, have shown no change in their shot form. I do think that for guys that are not great shooters, we're talking about average shooters or shooters trying to become three-point shooters, but there's a lot of those in college that are trying to become more proficient three-point shooters. I think those guys might struggle a little bit more across the board, meaning across college basketball. So we're very, very hopeful that Mason and Isaiah can really open up the floor with their three-point threats that can open up dribble drives for guys like Jimmy Witt and Jalen Harris.
Well, Coach, well, tell us about Sunday because, you know, normally an exhibition game is just an exhibition game, but this one's got a little added spice to it, of course, with the court being honored and named after Nolan Richardson. You're also playing Little Rock.
Yep.
That does not happen often, especially in basketball, where you play an in-state school. There's a lot of different pieces going on, so what can you tell us about Sunday? What can fans expect, and how excited are you to see not only the game and the going up against Little Rock, but all the things surrounding it with Coach Richardson?
Yeah, we're so excited. I mean, first of all, we try to do everything we can as a new staff to embrace, you know, the history and the past of this storied program. And Coach Richardson's been awesome. You know, I think one, just the court part of it is cool, and it's so well deserved because of how many games he's won and what he's meant to the university. And it's the really neat thing is. You know, to have former players coming back. Yesterday, Corey Beck called me and said, "Coach, how do I get tickets? And what about the little event beforehand with Coach?" And Clint McDaniels, who I coached at one point, Clint's coming back, and just to kind of get these phone calls of guys that maybe I've coached in the past, and those two guys in particular, to hear their excitement about what's going on. And then obviously the really, really neat thing is, one, the game is played for, you know, for the flood victims. And so it makes perfect sense to do it with Little Rock. And then you add in the fact that Darryl Walker played here, is one of the all-time great players here, is a great guy and is a friend. I think it, the game all around makes perfect sense. It's a great way to honor Coach Richardson and the new court design. I think our fans are going to like, so there's a lot of anticipation amongst our own players, amongst alumni, boosters, former players, and it's a great way for us to, you know, to play on a stage that's just not a normal game. So I mean, there's going to be a little bit different feel to it with former great players walking around for our own players to see. And so we feel it's a great way to start the season.
All right, again, tickets are $10 this Sunday. It's first come, first serve on seating. Parking is open around the campus, so folks can show up, bring the family. And again, the $10 ticket, which is not included in season tickets, if you're a season ticket holder, all that money, as you mentioned, goes to the flood victims from the floods earlier in this year that really, from one end of the state to the other, people were affected.
No question. You know, our staff, administration, everybody sat down, and there's not a lot of these Division I games, meaning Division I against Division I, as exhibitions. You have to do these for a natural disaster. And so, you know, we're fortunate that everybody got together and we're playing this game for a great cause, and should be an exciting day.
Coach Eric Musselman, the head Razorback basketball head coach. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, Coach. Have fun this Sunday, and good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
I always appreciate it, Coach.
Talk to you soon.
Coach and all guests. Throw it in right there at the end. Very nice. Had to throw it in at the very end. And all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Hey, Friday, join Wave Rural Connect and Arkansas Valley Electric as they're going to have a special event with a chance for you to save some money if you're an Arkansas Valley member, as they're bringing high-speed internet to all of their members over the next couple of years. And they got the first phases rolling out this Friday. You can join them for a free hot dog lunch at their Van Buren office this Friday from 11 to 2. If you sign up Friday, you get a $100 sign-up bonus, and they'll waive that when you sign up this Friday. That's 11 to 2 at 5600 North Highway 59 in Van Buren. Go to Wave Rural Connect to find out when they're going to be connecting homes in your neighborhood and get 100 megabits for just $49.95 a month, and ask about TV and phone service as well. Arkansas Valley Electric Cooperative and Wave Rural Connect, changing the communities we serve.
All right, let's get into your Hog Update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, if you need Carhartt clothing and these mornings are getting cooler and cooler, you need a Carhartt coat or jacket or insulated bibs, Carhartt vests, jeans, shirts. They've got it all, and you can find it at the Ozarks right now. So whether you're needing to get ready for working outdoors or you're needing some fun stuff right now for hunting season, they can get you ready with that. Firearms, gun safes, archery supplies, fishing supplies, and a whole lot more. It's all under one roof. And that's where you're going to find all the fun stuff, at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, this is a weird story we're going to talk about later in the show. But Davion McClure, who originally was told, or we were told by Chad Morris, that he has left the team in order to focus on his family and to get a job. And he's 25 years old because he tried his hand at minor league baseball. Didn't work out, so he's going to focus more on his family. Well, he announces on Twitter yesterday that he's entering in the transfer portal. So he feels like there's still some football to be played, but definitely interested in how that ended up happening. So I don't know. We'll have to speak more about that. Maybe
sounds like
Tom.
One of those "it's not me, it's you" kind of deals.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. It just sounds a little odd there, but we'll talk about that with Tom coming up. And also, as was just mentioned, that Arkansas will be having their exhibition game against Little Rock this Sunday at 3 p.m. $10 tickets, and all proceeds go to the flood victims throughout the state.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on here.
Well, we always enjoy having you on. I want to start, with the football side of things. Yesterday, Chad Morris met with the media. It's been our hot topic of conversation. Once again, about the quarterbacks. You know, we're having the same conversation we did before the season that we're having in the middle of the season. And Chad Morris came out and says he hasn't named a starter, and he's not going to. What did you make of those remarks and of the current quarterback situation heading into Auburn?
Well, it's pretty clear that there's positives and negatives with both of the guys. But one of the things that's has been pretty repetitive and clear is that the backup guys generally come in and perform better. So I cannot say that I have disagreed with how they've handled the quarterback race, other than I thought that Starkle should have got a quicker hook last week. It's clear that, you know, what everything they saw in camp, the totality of it all, thought that they were better to start safer again with Ben Hicks early on. And then when they didn't have a lot of offense at halftime of game two against Ole Miss, you bring Starkle in, you get a little bit more offense, and then you win game three with him, and you feel like you're on the right path. But then game four, we see that in certain situations, Starkle is a little aggressive, a little quick with deliveries and things like that, and too trusting of his arm and his receivers. And so I wouldn't call it necessarily a quandary. I just think that I think they might rotate depending on, you know, the down and distance, the time left in the half, all that kind of stuff. And the mechanics of for Starkel, which were pointed out in the game last week, if he can get those under control, you know, he has a good top end, a good high end. And so no surprise that they're going to be using both quarterbacks, in my opinion, on Saturday.
Tom, we were talking earlier in the show. It seems to me, even going back to last year, that the consistent thing at quarterback is the backup always plays better. I mean, at some point, the starter has to yield to the backup, and even going back to kind of the beginning of the Chad Morris era, that seems to be the constant theme. Is that a fair takeaway, and why do you think that is?
That's a great question, and there could be that, you know, there's certain pressures on the starting quarterback. You know, we haven't been in that situation, you know, in front of 70, 80,000 people and having to lead an offense. So they wish that it was different. They wish one guy just had the reins and just ran with it. And then if he got dinged up or if you had a lead or whatever, then you bring the other guy in. But that's just not where they are. And we just have to live with it. And perhaps this will take a little bit of pressure off both guys that, hey, like, for instance, with Nick Starkel in the last game, his just delivery was off. You know, he was throwing the slant patterns to O'Grady toward his back hip, and he's been high in some other games. And so if that's the case, then Ben Hicks comes in. If things don't go well for a couple of series, maybe Starkel has, you know, readjusted and is able to come back in and lead them. But I completely get where they're at with these quarterbacks.
I want to ask you also about the whole KJ Jefferson angle, Tom. A lot of fans are wanting it, and you still got four games to use him. You haven't seen him at all this year. Six games left. It keeps seeming like maybe they're going to use him at some point. I mean, is that something that you think that they should do? Do you want them to do that? What's your thought on the KJ Jefferson situation?
I'd like to see a package for him. Look, he's wearing the numbers. He's on the scout team. He's wearing the numbers of the opposing quarterback. Tuesday he was wearing Bo Nix's number, and yesterday he was wearing Joey Gatewood's number. So he's working against the top defense. Now, I know that at the end of practices, particularly during the bye week and at other times, he's studying the package, so he's learning it. But I feel like the comprehensive knowledge and all that is, you know, what might be, you know, making them reluctant to put him out there. But I do think it would be a smart idea to give him a package he feels confident in, and see if they can't, you know, do the run pass. See if he can't get to the edges. See if he can't cause safeties to come up and then, you know, throw some passes over their head. So he's got four games they can get in. They want a redshirt, and that's clear. But it would be neat to see, you know, if he can handle the stage. You know what I'm saying? And I would hope they do that.
Marlon Davidson, Derek Brown, Big Cat Bryant. This is one of the best defensive lines in the country, if not the best defensive line. How does Arkansas's offensive line handle that front for Auburn?
Man, those guys have got to play with low pad level. Looks like they're going to get Colton Jackson back, which I think helps the unit. I don't think they can just go do their standard, you know, inside zone stuff and expect to have great success. So they're going to have to use some misdirection. They're going to have to get, as Chad Morris said on his radio show last night, get their eyes to lie to them a little bit for their keys. They had a good game plan for the this Bama team that was great last year. Maybe if you can do the same type of defensive performance you had on Auburn last year, play better on special teams, and, you know, just generate 24 points or something, you have a chance to win the game. It is a very good Auburn defense, and they're fast in all levels. And if they're getting quick pressure, it's going to be hard to get separation sometimes with your receivers.
Tom, really appreciate you joining us, man. Have a good weekend, all right?
All right, sounds good. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Since it is Recruiting Thursday, we're going to talk a little recruiting as we welcome in on the Cherokee Casino Hotline, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Doing well, guys. Doing well.
Well, it's good to have you on. I got to make a joke, though, because on our Twitter breakdown, or I guess our show rundown that we put up on Twitter, we used a GIF of Bubba Hogg. You remember Bubba Hogg, right, Tommy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And take his shirt off.
Yeah, and Richard texted me after we saw that he was tagged in, and he was like, it's crazy, because apparently, Richard, you had just had Bubba Hogg run across your mind here recently and wondering where he was at.
Well, actually, this morning, quite often, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. just get on Facebook or YouTube, and so for some reason, I haven't thought about Bubba Hogg, and you know, like I told you, probably about 10, 15 years, maybe beyond that. I don't know, but and then I see that tweet that you sent out. I thought that was kind of ironic.
Yeah, it's almost coincidental if that's the case. But it's
Twilight Zone stuff.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you can't get the image of Bubba Hogg when you can't sleep and sitting there with a shirt off running around. So probably not.
There's
the great
a therapist for that somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably not the best image to have. Well, Richard, there's a lot of things going on with recruiting, and actually, we just got done talking with Eric Musselman, the head coach of Razorback basketball, about 30 minutes ago. And this is a big weekend, obviously, for different reasons, and we'll get into football here in a second, but a huge weekend for Razorback basketball.
Yeah, no doubt. Moses Moody and K.K. Robinson, both of those guys will be making official visits this weekend. There will be another, being an unofficial visit, Jackson Robinson from Oklahoma, four-star 2021 prospect, will also be visiting. But, everybody's obviously thinking about Moses Moody and K.K. Robinson, and they're good friends, and they've talked about possibly playing together. So Arkansas is really the, now they've offers from Kansas and Florida, but I don't think Kansas and Florida are in contention for both of them. And Arkansas, as of right now, is the only school that I believe that's the case. So if they want to play together, I think Arkansas is probably it, but only time will tell. But obviously, two four-star guys and in-state products, and obviously, key components about as far as the future of Razorback basketball, as far as what Coach Musselman wants to do.
Well, let me ask you about the most recent commitment to Arkansas, is that Devontae Davis. He was originally committed to Oklahoma State, decommitted, and now is committed to the Razorbacks, a point guard out of Jacksonville. What kind of went into all that decision? What was it about Eric Musselman and the Razorback program that made him decide to come to Fayetteville in the 2020 class?
He's always liked Arkansas. That's always been the case. And, when he reopened his recruitment, it was only natural for Coach Musselman and them to reach out, which obviously they did, and didn't take very long for him to show up on campus for the red-white game. They developed a quick relationship, a very impressive relationship in a short period of time. He felt very comfortable, and really he's realizing a dream come true for him, being a Razorback. And it's a very good get. He's a bigger guard. You play the one or the two. Guy that is long, got some length, and definitely is from a physical standpoint, everything you're looking for in a guy, a combo type guard. So, and I think Coach Musselman's going to be able to really help his development. And I think that probably second or third year that he's at Arkansas, I think you're going to see some steady improvement.
Richard Davenport with us here on a Recruiting Thursday on the Morning Rush. You only have two SEC games in football this year, so it's a big recruiting weekend for the football team, but you get an 11 a.m. game, which is never a good thing for getting guys on campus. How much is the early start time hurt getting official visits and unofficial visitors to campus for this weekend?
Well, as far as the official visitors, it's not going to be a big issue because a lot of the guys have bye weeks. So that helps. Unofficial visitors, yeah, that's going to put a dent in the number of kids being able to make it to campus because most of the kids are coming from out of state. If you have to drive 6, 7, 8 hours to get there, I mean, good gosh, you're basically leaving really, really early Saturday morning. And most parents and most kids aren't going to do that, especially after having to play a game on a Friday night. So the official visitors, you got three from Memphis Whitehaven, Martavius French, who's committed to him, the linebacker, four-star. Then his teammate, Bryson Easton, another four-star linebacker, along to Marion McDonald. He's currently committed to Mississippi State. He could play linebacker or safety, in my opinion. But all three of those guys be coming in. They just recently visited Tennessee. They want to all play together. So we'll see what happens. Looks like Arkansas-Tennessee right now for those guys. Dwight McLaughlin, a four-star quarterback from the Houston area. He'll be coming in along with Nick Turner, a Georgia Tech safety commitment. And they're all guys that definitely are on the A-list. Guys that they need to hopefully get on board. Darian Turner, receiver from Memphis, who's committed to him right now, is also coming in.
All right, Richard, I also got to ask you about after the Kentucky game, which was a brutal loss. It was followed by some pretty big news for Arkansas as they lost the commitment of Tykeus Crawford, offensive lineman, four-star out of the state of Texas. Was this something that was coming, long time coming? Did you expect this to happen? Also, the timing of it all right after the Kentucky game was also just a brutal showing for Razorback fans after that one as well.
Yeah, that was kind of different. It was a kick in the butt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, because he's what you're looking for in an offensive line, 6'7", about 330 pounds. Now, what's ironic is that he's still planning to visit Arkansas this weekend unofficially. So that's you know, usually when a guy decommits, you kind of write them off. Very seldom do they ever kind of jump back on board. It does happen, but it doesn't happen that often. With Tykeus, you know, I saw him before the Texas A&M game, and you can tell that he loves the program. I think just obviously the losing has kind of created some doubt. He's going to make some other visits too, which we've known about for quite some time. But for him to decommit shortly after that game and then, decide he's still going to visit Arkansas on Saturday, it's just a little different. But he's a kid that really, really likes Arkansas. I think he just wants to be reassured that everything's going to be good when he gets there, if he decides to recommit. So don't slam the door on him just yet. But obviously that was a gut punch. But we'll see what happens going forward.
So with that and going, I know that you talked to a bunch of other recruits. Are there other guys that Arkansas is either targeting or that are currently committed that are sharing some of those major concerns of the losses of this program and the way that it's looking right now? Because sitting at 2-4, not playing and haven't even played a team with a winning record as of right now, just those things don't look very good for any program. But are there other players and targets and everybody else showing some sort of concern about the current state of the program?
Well, I didn't talk to any kids after the Kentucky game. I'm not going to lie to you. Right now, you kind of let things kind of settle down, and then see where things would be after, say, a week or two. And obviously, the stretch of games coming up, it's not looking too promising. But if you go back to Brett Bielema's first year, obviously they went 3-9, and everybody was saying a bunch of kids were going to jump off the commitment list. And the best that I can recall, and I could be overlooking a kid, but some of you guys may remember Jermaine Aluminar, the offensive lineman who eventually went to Texas A&M. He's the only one that I can recall that did jump off the commitment list. Again, I could be overlooking a kid, but it wasn't a mass defection like a lot of fans thought it was going to be. And I'm not going to say if things continue to go south that there may not be some more coming off the commitment list. But usually kids usually stick. I mean, they usually do. Now, you know, that Bielema's bad year was his first year. So now you have the chance to maybe have him back-to-back bad years, and that could test some of the kids. There's no doubt about that.
So let's look at it the other way. What would a win over, forget the next 2 weeks, what would a win over Mississippi State, Western Kentucky, and, oh, what the heck, throw in Missouri at the end or something like, you know, if you could get 2 to 3 more wins, what would that do to improve recruiting. Obviously, it's going to help, but how much better could it get with a couple of wins down the stretch? We see where the rankings are now. Obviously, winning's got to improve it. How much better could it get? Because to me, the only way it gets much better is you got to show some signs for the future, which is winning.
No, it gives hope. Yeah, and if they could somehow, obviously, you do something like that. I mean, the kids would be saying, okay, they're getting it, they're getting into their groove. The freshmen that are on campus right now, they're starting to play like, you know, a veteran, and you're starting to see promise. You're starting to see the future. What the future may look like, and that obviously gives you hope. I mean, that was the key this year. You got to give kids, not only in this class but in the future classes, some hope that you're about to turn the corner. And if they somehow win two of those three games, or three of those games, I mean that would be huge. I mean, obviously, it would just change the perspective of the fan base also. And the recruits. It just gives you an energy level to kind of overcome the negativity that you're going through right now.
Yeah, because to me, and I, you know, you're around this stuff. We're not. It's about calming the moms and the dads and the players' high school teammates and his friends, because he don't be joked out by his friends and his buddies. You're going to Arkansas, a team that's won two games where they're making fun of the school. I mean, that's as much of it as anything is. When they're joking him out in the locker room at the high school about where he's going to play school, even though he's a four-star and he's got offers from all over the country or all over this conference because he's going to a program that can't find a win right now. That to me is,
no.
I can only imagine that's what's going on with some of these kids, and they're tired of hearing it from their buddies.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think that's an angle a lot of people forget. It's not only just the parents, but their friends, because you know, exactly what you said is true. I mean, are you serious? Look what they're struggling, man. They went 2-10 last year. They're doing it again this year, and it just wears on you. And it creates doubt. You can have
it's
the most
peer confidence. Pressure. It's just another form of peer pressure.
Exactly. You can have the most confidence in the world in the staff, but when you're constantly hearing it from people around you, that just feeds into the possible doubt that could creep into your mind. So, no, you make a great point, and I've said it in the past that's another angle that a lot of times we forget about.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, covering all things recruiting. Really appreciate you joining us as always, Richard. Man, have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week. All right.
All right, buddy, we'll see you. And Bubba Hug, if you're out there, DM me, man.
Yeah, let us know how you're doing out there.
You can
there,
take
man.
A spot.
Yeah.
You can just start taking your shirt off at basketball games this year.
You know what? I may do that in the press box. I'll get kicked out, but it'd be fun.
I'm glad I'll never be able to unhear that image once again. Good grief. Yeah, don't all do right. that, Richard. Appreciate it, man.
We'll see you guys. All take right. care.
Yeah, that's that. Thank you, Tommy, for that.
Well,
image.
You've lost enough weight; it wouldn't be the same if you did it.
But see, you can't have a like. And you I'm not saying
guy.
I'm this. I'm not saying I'm this. But like, you can't have some dude with six pack abs out there taking his shirt off, because then it doesn't become funny. It becomes like, okay, you're a doucher. Like you want somebody out there that's fat, because fat people are funny when they do those things.
Yeah, because you're overconfident when you shouldn't be.
That's, exactly. That's nobody wonderful. Likes that. Nobody
that's
likes.
Wonderful. It. Yeah. What made Bubba Hogg great, and the hair and the whole presentation.
And his dance moves, too, because he did it to NFL Today.
And he was a law student there. That's what probably most people, they just thought he was probably some guy that rolled in from Prairie Grove up there.
Yeah.
No, he was a law student.
We've had a lot of people text in. He's apparently moved to Austin, Texas, and he's practicing law. He's in a law firm right now. Who would have guessed?
Oh, I bet he's fun at the Christmas party.
Oh, man. I bet he's fun everywhere.
Hey, sometimes life can be hard on you physically, but you don't have to let an injury or loss of limb slow you down. JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs are there for you. Whether your injury requires a brace for your back or knee, or you need a prosthesis to replace a limb lost through an accident, disease, or missing from birth, JP&O can fit you with the device you need. Maybe you have foot problems. They got a lab that can help you with that as well. JP&O has locations in Harrison, Mountain Home, Batesville, Branson, West Plains, and Rogers and Fayetteville as well to take care of you. JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs, solutions, support, and value with world-class technology and service.
Is it just me? Because I know we've talked a lot of things with Richard, but is it just me, or is it kind of strange about that whole Tykeus Crawford thing that he's taking an unofficial visit this weekend to Arkansas?
Well, that's a good. I think that's obviously a good sign.
I mean, it is, but it's still kind of strange. It's like, because you just decommitted.
Yeah.
But when you decommit, I'm still taking an unofficial visit.
I've thought about this, and you know, just being around high school athletics some, and knowing how kids interact. I'm telling you, the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
From your teammates, your classmates. Is real.
It's a real thing.
And particularly out of state. I don't think it's as big a deal here in our state with an in-state recruit, but you go to Texas or you go anywhere else and where there's no allegiance to the Razorbacks and you've got a kid that has offers elsewhere and he's coming to Arkansas, his teammates are giving him a hard, giving him the business in the locker room about it with the results Arkansas has turned in lately. So this is good. This gives Arkansas's coaching staff a chance to shore up that relationship, reassure them, and boy, a good performance this weekend would probably go a long ways. They've got to have offensive linemen like Crawford.
And I look at that, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's still good, but what you brought up and you and Richard brought up, it's like, this is terrible, but I'm like, I would have been one of those kids in high school that would have been making fun of them.
You would have been all about punking someone out.
Yeah, because at the time, I think when I was in high school, I think one of the worst teams in the SEC was Ole Miss, because I think that was like when Eddie O was there and Ed Orgeron. And it would have been like if we had a big-time recruit going to Ole Miss, I'm like, man, they're going 0-8. What are you doing over there, man? Yeah. Go to Arkansas. That's where you need to go.
Can you imagine every day going into your high school locker room, and particularly on a Monday or Saturday following, or it would be a Monday following an Arkansas game, and now with social media where your teammates and text and everything else, whatever the kids are using now, Snapchat. What's new now? I don't know.
I think Snapchat's still around.
Is that the most current thing that probably
Telegram's catching on.
Whatever the kids are using now. I mean, you probably can't get away from it.
No.
It's just modern-day peer pressure.
Yep. And it's unfortunate, but it is.
So then when they lose and the entire second half of that Kentucky game, your buddies are giving you the business. See, you type up, I'm opening my recruiting. I can't take this heat no more.
That's sad.
I don't know that that's what happened with Crawford.
I don't know either.
I mean, I'm just drawing this picture in my head, you know. Sounds good to me.
I mean, I can't argue with it. I can't disagree with it. But
I don't know what happened with him. You know this stuff goes on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, again, I would have been one of those kids, as long as with my friends, too. High school kids are terrible. They're mean.
Mm. Girls are worse than boys, though.
I trust you on that. I haven't raised a daughter or son, so you have.
Yeah.
Gone through high school.
Two daughters. Yeah. They're mean.
God help you, Tommy Kraft.
Almighty.
God help you.
Why do you think I work 80 hours a week?
Hey, that's going to be my wedding hashtag. Hashtag no daughters for John. That's going to be my wedding hashtag. Don't want any of that.
Hey, you looking for something to do this weekend, night out on the town, head to 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. You can even watch the game there on Saturday and really soak up a great atmosphere at 906. They've got a top chef that's really come up with some great stuff. They're adding to the menu, whether it's a lunch or a light dinner. They've got something for you. Things like chicken pyros, Cubana. They've got great wings. These are jumbo roasted wings with honey bacon jam. You're going to love them. They got salads and flatbreads and great desserts, coffees at lunch. You can always have a great cigar there as well. They have an air replacement system that replaces the air every few minutes there inside the lounge. You don't have to worry about the smoke or leaving there smelling like smoke as well. They got top shelf liquors and wines and premium beers as well. You'll find brands there you won't find anywhere else. Find them on Facebook. See some pictures. This is a first-class joint at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Sample, indulge, and escape at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Robbie is in San Diego. What's going on, Robbie?
What's going on, boys? How you doing?
Pretty good, man.
Man, it's an awesome day just strolling into Naval Base San Diego here in a few minutes. Hey, guys. So I wanted to kind of say something about Richard Davenport's call there. First of all, I discount the assertion that if he thinks that if we win two more games somehow, that's going to right the ship or get people thinking better. I mean, we should beat Western Kentucky, and we should be, you know, we should have an opportunity in the Mississippi State game given the fact that it's our home. But I don't think 4-8 is going to, like, get the fan base, you know, invigorated. It's not really going to, I don't think it's going to have recruiting saying, oh, they're heading in the right direction, given the fact that, you know, our results this year have been less than, have not met expectations at all. Secondly, with the Crawford recruiting, that's a tough deal, man. And I'm glad to see that he's going to come on campus. you know, back in the mid-90s when I was in high school, we had a buddy of mine that was being recruited by Arkansas and Texas A&M. We actually went to the Cotton Bowl to watch SMU play Arkansas, and he was, you know, contemplating whether or not he was going to go to, you know, take an official visit. Problem was that he went and watched the game, and it was a Danny Ford-led team that was so bad and never threw the ball. He's like, well, why would I want to go to Arkansas? And then all the while, you know, being a, you know, Texas kid, you know, he was like, you know, I want to go to A&M. I want to go to A&M. And then we were all like giving him the business thing. Why would you go to A&M? They don't throw the ball. Archie Slocum's going to hand it off, you know, to you name the running back. So, you know, I understand that pressure. You know, we gave him the business every single day because none of us were D1 athletes. They're kind of just living through him. But, you know, Darren made the right call, ended up going to A&M, and he was on the champion that what we call the Big 8 championship, one of the Big 8 championship teams right there after Arkansas left the Southwest Conference. So he ended up having a pretty decent career, got his degree from A&M. But I always remember, and, you know, and I talked to him, you know, we talked about how we used to, like, just give him such a hard time about going to A&M, but he's like, yeah, I think I ended up making the right choice. Because Arkansas was up and down for years after that, but. You know, it's always interesting to hear stories like that. I don't think 4-8 is going to get it done, but I really hope that maybe we can pull an upset and really reinvigorate the fan base, because right now it seems like we're just one small issue from falling off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call as always, Robbie. And I'll say this, too, with kids these days. Dude, it's not even just going to the locker room. I mean, my goodness, social media. You got people from all over the world tweeting at you like, oh, wow, you're going to this school and they're terrible. Why would you do that? So it's not just even the kids that are around school. It's social media and all that. So it's definitely a whole new animal.
Being told TikTok is the new app now.
Yeah, I know TikTok.
I've heard that that phrase around my house. I didn't know what it was.
Hearing you, like, say apps, names.
TikTok.
Because you're unsure.
I am.
It's not just like, Facebook.
Very uncertain.
You're like, you have to go Snapchat.
Yes.
TikTok.
There is some question in my tone.
Yeah, yes. It's like you want to make sure you get it right so you don't mess it up and people think that you're not cool and hip.
Oh, I'm not cool and hip at all.
Oh.
Don't even pretend. Don't want to be.
Cool and hip's not a bad thing, no, Tom? High school, though.
I just want John Neighbors to like me. That's all I want. That's all I strive for.
Yeah, we'll keep barking up that tree and see if you get there.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Now, I'm trying to get some confirmation on it with the SID over there at the University of Arkansas, but a few of you have seen this and a few of us that we did some research, and it looks like the exhibition game on Sunday is going to be streaming on the SEC Network Plus.
Everything we've been told, though, it's on the guide, but everything we've been told was no TV.
Yeah, so maybe something changed.
So I don't know. Either something's changed or the information we had originally that we were given was not good.
Because I can't remember a time that any exhibition game was ever even streaming. Maybe they're doing it a special occasion because it's the Nolan Richardson deal, or I don't know.
I don't know. We're trying to get confirmation one way or the other.
Yeah. But, you know, what the greatest thing about it, though, is that doesn't matter.
We were originally told there would be no TV access to this.
Right.
Radio only.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. That's all that matters anyways, is that it's on the radio. And you
exactly.
Get to, I assume Chuck's going to be making the call, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Chuck's going to have double duty.
This will be the only exhibition. Well, there's only two. They will not be broadcasting the second exhibition game.
Okay. So that makes more sense. So Chuck, man, he's going to have double duty. Who's the backup there for basketball?
Ruskin.
Oh. According to...
I just made that up.
Okay.
So. I guess Phil. Phil or Scott Inman.
Yeah. Okay. Because I figured there's going to be at some point where there's going to be like a contradiction where Chuck's going to be somewhere doing football. And
oh, it always is.
So, I just wasn't sure who the backup was going to be.
Generally, it's been Scott Inman, or if Phil's available based on the women's basketball schedule, Phil has done that in the past.
And who knows? Maybe if everyone's busy, then they actually turn to Dirk Ruskin.
There you go.
But for some reason, I don't think that they would make that call to old Ruskin. Not because he doesn't have a talent and ability of play-by-play.
Very capable.
But also his personality on air, too, on his radio show may ruffle some feathers. Well,
that'd be good. They need some feather ruffling.
Isn't that what got Joe Klein kicked off of the broadcast way back when?
The legend has it, you know, Joe was too honest on the basketball broadcast. And there was a time where Coach Broyles was under the weather and he had to be in the hospital and he was only able to listen by radio.
and he didn't like what he heard.
Ah, okay. So that
that's
makes
what I
more
was told.
Sense.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
Well, listen, because I think that was during a time where it was Rick Schaefer that was doing the color commentating with Mike Nail, and then they went to Joe Klein,
right, and then went back to
Rick Schaefer and whatnot. So, and I guess Coach Z is still going to be doing the color commentary.
Correct.
So. That's always a fantastic
listen. I'm looking
as well.
Forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. So the basketball game again, 3 p.m. on Sunday at Bud Walton. Tickets $10 to get in, and proceeds go to the flood victims across the state of Arkansas. So that was really great. And again, if you missed our interview with Eric Musselman, go to hitthatline.com and you'll be able to check it out.
I don't know if I can talk my family into going, so maybe I could get my media credential and go. I don't know if I want to do that. Sit in the corner. Probably get a better seat with your $10.
Why do you need your family to go?
You know, well, it's Sunday. You know, it's like the one day I don't work, you know.
Yeah? So you don't think they'll go with you?
Well, I mean, taking a nine and an eight-year-old, and my wife has been under the weather this week, I don't know if they want to go sit through an exhibition basketball game.
Well, take your crew then. Take your boys.
No, take
the squad up there.
Yeah?
All
the squad.
All the Scots that you have in your phone book.
There's several.
Yeah. So, do that.
Yeah.
Yep. You can find a way to the game.
Yeah, I'd like to go.
Yeah.
I'd like to go.
I think it's going
to
be fascinating.
It's historic in more ways than one. It's Musselman's first kind of public debut. I know there was the red-white game, but this is kind of...
This is an actual game against somebody else.
Right. You're playing an in-state school. That's historic. That's actually sanctioned by the university. It's not forced on you by the NIT or something like that. And then they're naming the court after Nolan Richards. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons to be there.
What if Arkansas lost?
Well, I mean, the sun will still come up Monday.
Well, it don't.
I mean, they lost in baseball, and the sun still came up.
No, but it's just like going to end up having all these great things happen. It'd just be really ill-advised timing to have it to where this one game where you're honoring Nolan, and it's the Eric Musselman debut, and man, that would, I don't think they're going to lose.
Coach,
but it's just
Coach made annoying. Coach made a valid point. You know, most times in the second exhibition game, you're playing a Division II team. Most of the time, you don't play a Division I school in an exhibition game. In fact, you've got to get a waiver to do it. I think, didn't he say you got to get a waiver?
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of benefit for a relief of a natural disaster. Keep in mind, Arkansas is playing an exhibition game against a Division I opponent. This isn't going to be your normal 128-64 final here.
Yeah.
So that's what you're expecting on Sunday? Not going to happen.
Yeah.
This will be a ball game.
And some people don't remember that the coach of Little Rock is Darrell Walker.
Right. So. This will be a ball game.
Yeah.
Arkansas will have to play well to win.
Yeah. And just to give everybody a little bit of an idea, last year Little Rock went 10-21 in the first year of Darrell Walker. So I
know this one doesn't count, but let's hope they start 0-1.
Okay. So I just got confirmation. This is from Mike Gaywood, the SID over
this at official.
The
This is official. Official.
This is officially official. It'll be on the SEC Network Plus. He is
the whole thing?
Yeah. It says he has it linked on the schedule page on ArkansasRazorbacks.com.
All right. So it is.
Also in Arkansas or Razorback Radio Network.
I'm not dreaming that up. That's what we were originally told, though. There's none, right?
Yeah. And again, right.
It's been changed.
I'm all for it. And so those of you who can't make it to the game, you can stream the game on SEC Network Plus.
Our plans have changed.
Yeah. Is there a difference between SEC Network Plus and ESPN Plus? Isn't it all the same?
SEC Network Plus, you don't have to pay the $4.99 a month for, right?
What do you have to pay for it? So what do you pay for?
ESPN Plus is a subscription.
Correct. But so for SEC Network, though, you just have to have a subscription to ESPN in the cable provider.
Correct.
Right? But doesn't that come with ESPN already, though?
You're confusing me now.
Sorry. If you already subscribed to ESPN through your cable provider,
right.
ESPN Plus comes with that, right?
No.
It does not?
No.
Okay.
Like if you want to watch Bo's stuff, like the Kansas deal, I tried to watch one of those the other night.
Why?
I just wanted to. Couldn't do it. Had to pay $5 a month. Sorry, Bo, didn't pay the $5 a month.
Why'd you want to watch Jeff Long?
I don't know. There was a link on it. It intrigued me. And I thought it was a paywall. I said, nope, I'm out.
Mm. Yeah, that's how everybody is. If something pops up and it's like either pay or disable your ad blocker, I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm not subscribing to you. I don't care what great information
listen,
you
have.
I've
got enough stuff between Netflix and my kids' Xbox stuff and about 10 other things that, it's only $9.99 a month. It's only $4.99 a month. It's only $14.99. I've got enough of those already. I don't need one more.
Speaking of the Xbox thing, do you like keep pretty like on tap of what gets spent on your checking account?
I'm afraid we don't keep enough accountability on
it. Because I was about to ask you, like, how much you spend on Xbox for a month? And if you say, oh, you know, just the regular $30 a month, I'm going to be like, Tommy,
I'm told it's
$10
a month. I'm told it's $9.99.
It is. It is. So as long as he's not buying skins on Fortnite or anything like that.
No telling. No telling what I've been buying. Absolutely no telling.
Father of the year.
That's what I was told last night in order to get back on to Fortnite. You're the best dad ever. What do you really want? Yeah.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.